Philippians. We're going to be in 2:12. We're going to talk about being a difference maker. And I was going to bypass it, but last week, you know, the Lord told me to how to have 2020 and 2020, and so that's what we talked about. And so this week we're going to talk about being a difference maker. What does it look like? You know, guys, I tell you, we live in a different world today than what we used to. Amen. And we live in a time where it's uncertain, and people are uncertain, and things are uncertain, it's kind of a time where you go, oh my goodness, what's going on? But I want to reassure you that God is certain, and I want to reassure you that God is faithful. As a matter of fact, next week we are going to start our new series. Our new series is going to be in Titus. In Jude, my apologies. It's going to be in Jude. And that's what Jude talks about throughout his whole book. It's a very long book. I think it's a total of 25 verses. But it's a great book because Jude writes it to the believers and he just says, listen, God is faithful. God is faithful. And so we should stay faithful because God is faithful. Well, I want to look at today what we are called to do and where we are called to do it and how we are called to do it. So in Philippians chapter 2, if you will, I want you to go to 2:12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, the harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray your hand upon this hour. I pray your hand upon your word and upon me, Father. Give me the words to speak and give us all the ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So the interesting thing about this passage is Paul calls us to be strong and to not gossip and to live out our faith and to walk it out into a world that needs to hear about Jesus. But the interesting thing is, before he calls us to do that, he sets the stage, and he sets the stage in the verses prior. You know, the thing about the Scripture, what I love about Scripture is it doesn't leave you guessing. Very, very rare will Scripture leave you guessing as to what God wants or what God wants you to hear. If he wants you to hear it, it doesn't leave you guessing. If he wants it, it doesn't leave you guessing. Now, there are some things that are written in the Bible where we scratch our head and we're like, Lord, what did you mean? There's also some places in the Scripture where God says, John, don't write that down yet because they don't need to hear it yet. They're not ready. And so John withholds writing down some information that God has shown him. Can you imagine when God took John to show him all the wonderful things and some not so wonderful things when he wrote the book of Revelation, when he wrote the other books, when God took John? You know, because I'm going to tell you, man, Jesus and John seem to be the closest of all of them. And I just think about all the things that God showed him and then said, hey, don't write this. Just wait. But in the things that he did write, we are to grab hold of and we are to understand. And so Paul, when he sets this up and he says, hey, listen, this is what you're to be. You're to be light bearers. You are to shine the light into a dark world. But I want you to understand, I'm not sending you out there on your own. You're not expected to do this in your own strength. You're expected to do it, but you have a helper. You have God's strength. Look up here, if you will, go to you're still in Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because Christ came, because Christ established it, because Christ set the example, because Jesus Christ knew we couldn't do it on our own. He knew that we needed help. He knew we needed strength. He knew we needed additional. He says, therefore, Christ came. And then he goes, therefore, in verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, if you back up one more, and you guys might go, well, Pastor, why are you reading this backwards? Because I wanted to give you the conclusion to all the therefores. You know, because whenever we read therefore, what do? We find out what it's there for. And so now we're finding out in 12 through 18, why would Paul establish this and tell us, look, you're going out into a crooked, perverse, evil world. Why would he tell us to do that if he doesn't establish first that we have authority and a promise through Jesus Christ? And we have the strength. Look here in 2:1. Therefore, man, don't you love the therefores? If we keep going, I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of the book. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself, and let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And so as we see this, that if we were to keep going back, and matter of fact, go back to 127. Go back to 127. And so if you notice, we keep getting a therefore, and if we got a therefore, we really want to go find out what it's there for, because we have to put this together to totally understand what is expected of us, and that we're not alone. You know, 2020 is a big year. I got on the scale this morning. Talk about big. Oh, my goodness. So I get on the scale, and that's why I wear big shirts. Anyway, I get on the scale, and I had my pajamas on. I get on the scale, and it read 222.7. That's what I did. I went, oh, Jesus, this can't be right. So I got off the scale. I went out, did some work loading the wood stove and everything. And I went, well, let me just take my pajamas off. Because, you know, they weigh so much. It's like a weighted blanket, you know what I'm saying? It's got to be. And so then I get back on the scale, and it read 222 even. I went, oh, my goodness. So I woke my wife up. And I said, babe, you're not going to believe this, but I'm a fatty. So I gotta lose weight. 2020, my goal is not to lose weight, by the way. It happened, a realization came in 2020 that I need to. It's not a goal, and so I'll work on it. It's kind of like, how many like Captain Crunch? Peanut butter, Captain Crunch. I realized this past week why I haven't eaten it in years. The roof of my mouth is still healing up. How many know what I'm talking about? You eat Captain Crunch, and I'm thinking not, man. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so for like 3 days, my tongue is feeling how rough the roof of my mouth is, going, I'll never eat that mess again until I forget the pain, right? So 2020, we understand and we're going to realize a few things. And I've already begun that journey. And so when we go through 2020, guys, there's going to be some realizations that we need to realize. There's going to be some things that we're going to do and that we need to make adjustments. And I'm just going to tell you this, and this is a whole, for the next month and a half, you're going to hear about how God has called us to go, but how he has equipped us in the process. And that's what we're going to talk about. 2020, man, what's God want from us this year? Now, for some, God's already told you very specific what he wants you to do. And listen, God's made a few things clear to me, but he made it clear to me last year what we need to do this year. And as I look at what's going on and I look at the world and everything that's happening in the world, guys, we need to get quick on making some adjustments in our life. Amen. Like we need to think about it and get steadfast on making the changes that we have to make. Because if we don't start making some changes, it's not going to be good. Not only not good for us, but it's not going to be good for a whole lot of people. And I'm not trying to be a naysayer. I'm just simply saying we are called, and since we're called, God has equipped us to do what he's called us to do. I got the cure, baby. Look at that. So now only those in the back and on the left, on the right side are going to hear. I hope your ear works on that side. All right. I guess what we need new cables up there. Make a note. All right, here we go. Because God has called us, he's also equipped us. And so don't think that this year that you're walking alone, because you're not. Don't think that this year you don't know what to do, because we do. And if you keep coming here, you'll understand more and more. Amen? And so I want you to go to 1:27, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He actually starts in 19, but I'm going to pick up in 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What does that look like? Listen, guys, here's what it looks like. It looks like living a life that makes God smile. And when we say God, because you know, so many people have a definition of their own God. So many people believe in different gods. If you go out and you ask 100 people, especially in this area, I promise you, you'll probably get about 40 different gods. And if people are really honest, iPhone and Samsung would rank in the highest of their gods. Right? Because a god doesn't have to be a god per se, but just something that dominates their life. And so he says, therefore, that we are to act, or we are to be Christ-like. So here in 27, only let your conduct be worthy of what makes Jesus smile. Some of us, we need to check our attitude, we need to check our language, we need to check our actions, right? We need to check a few things, don't we? And so he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in the Spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Listen, whether I'm there or not, I hear good things of what you're doing for Jesus Christ. Because we all know, some of us will do one thing when people are around, and we'll do something completely different when people aren't around. Amen? I mean, how many times have you read Camera in Use and it totally changed your mind of what you were about to do? Amen, right? And so it's okay. We're all guilty of it. I went to turn around and someone's, well, actually, I wasn't going to turn around. I was going to drive up into their yard. And then at the end it said, smile, you're on camera. Well, I hit my brake. I went, do I really want to do this? Then I hit the gas. Yes, I do. So listen, I'm going to tell you that the cameras, or anytime someone's around, we realize or we think twice before we do what we do. And I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is watching everything we do. Not only watching, but have you ever thought of the fact, you know, the Bible says that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that heaven is your home. You know, that's the only way that we get to heaven, right? But then the Bible goes on to say that because you believe, the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God comes and lives within you, and to the day of redemption. So do you understand that everything you do, everything you look at, every act that you partake of, you're actually taking the Holy Spirit of God in it with you? We're not alone. Remember, Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That means every moment, every step, he is with us. That should make our conduct a little better, shouldn't it? To know that, okay, someone or a person's not watching us, but God is. And so Paul writes here, listen, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Then in 28 he says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. So he says, listen, you'll notice if you're different than someone else because of someone else's lifestyle. You know, I'll talk to people all the time, and they'll go, I believe in God. Well, you know the devil believes in God, right? But I'll watch what they do, right? Because your lifestyle will truly tell me whether you're a believer or not. Your lifestyle, listen, and people, this is my, I love it when people go, you can't judge me. Amen, right? That's the first thing listen, you're not supposed to do that. You can't judge me. Well, scriptures say I can. I can look at you and determine what fruit you are. I don't mean that condescending, but sometimes you say it, and then after you said it, you realize what you said and went, that may not have sounded the greatest. The Bible is actually talking about, you know, that all right, let's move on. There's some holes I'm not going to keep digging. Verse 29. In verse 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Oh, now we don't like that. Who wants to suffer? Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Because, you know, Paul's in prison here for sharing the gospel. But it never slowed him down. And his conduct never changed. And so he's like, you know what? I'm in prison and you might have to suffer a little bit, but it's going to be okay. And then that's when he goes on. And he says, listen, guys, have the same mind in Christ. Understand that God loves you. Understand that in 2 through 4, in 4 he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So you know what? Don't be selfish. We got to have love. We got to love one another. But you know, sometimes loving one another means that you're just being honest. Right? Listen, people go, well, I don't want to tell the truth because I don't want to offend them. And so you lie to them so they can get hurt later down the road. I've had people come up and they'll tell me something. I go, what did you tell them? Well, no, I'm not going to tell them. And I go, well, you just set them up for failure. You led them to believe one thing that wasn't true. And they went on. And so, guys, I just want you to know that as we look at Scripture and we start dealing with people this coming year, that there's a requirement of us and we're to follow that requirement. And we are to look out for others as we would for ourselves. Amen? And we're not to allow fear to get in the way, because God already said that he's with us and he'll strengthen us. God's already made it clear that our conduct is to be that honors God and that's a blessing to God. And so then we go into 12. 2:12, Philippians 2, chapter 12. Therefore, because you understand who you are and what's expected of you, and because you understand in verses 5 through 11 who Christ is and that he's there for you, now go into 12, therefore, because of everything I just told you guys, he says, my beloved, my beloved, he's talking very specific to Christians here. Okay? Because, listen, this isn't written to the whole world. This is written to Christians. Very specific, Paul was writing to the church of Philippi or to the Philippian church. And so he calls them my beloved because he loves them, because they love the Lord, and he's trying to help them understand what is expected of their walk with Jesus and in this life. And so when he says my beloved, it's not talking about people that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. He's talking to those who do. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want you to understand that this work out your own salvation with fear and trembling doesn't mean that you're going to determine how you get to heaven. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that you are going to walk worthy of God, and God is going to show you how that looks and what that looks like and what's acceptable to him and what's not acceptable to him. And so you work it out. Now, that being said, hey, guys, listen, you know what? There's some things that one person is allowed to do that another person is not allowed to do. That's working out your own salvation. And when you go, well, isn't it straight down the line, good for everyone, bad for everyone? No, because you know what? There's some things that some people can't do because it triggers poor behavior. But then there's, to other people, they can do whatever that is all day long because it doesn't matter to them. Kind of like if you have an alcoholic, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to give him permission to go sit in a bar. Because guess what? Man, he just put himself in a position, or she put themselves in a position where it's going to be a struggle. So work out your own salvation. You know what you can't do because you know it could lead to something else. You know it's bad for you. Don't do it. That's what Paul's talking about. So understand this. You know, someone can go in and have a drink and they're fine. There's no problems. They go in, they have a drink, they sit down, they socialize with someone, they get up and they leave, and there's no problem whatsoever. And meanwhile, the next person is sitting there going, give me another, give me another, give me another, give me another. Work out your own salvation. Understand what keeps you holy and what leads you into sin. And you avoid what leads you into sin. That's what this verse is talking about, okay? Does everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
That's what I like to hear, the multitude. All right. So then he goes and he says, not only am I much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That fear and trembling isn't with a fear of God, but a reverence for God, an honoring of God, and a trembling, understanding that God is God and we are nobody, that God has the power. Listen, God even says, don't fear the one who can take the body away or kill the body, but you fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. And that's what Paul's referencing here when he says that we are to do it with fear and trembling. That literally means with reverence and understanding that what God can do to us. Amen. And I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm just simply trying to help everyone understand that there are requirements in our life. Because so many people will say, well, God loves me just the way I am, and that's it. No, you know what? The truth is, God loves you just the way you are, but he will not leave you just the way you are. He wants to move you to the next level. You know, everybody in life, 2020, I see so many things. 2020, what's your next goal? I mean, I've even posted out there, what's your goal for 2020? What's your desire? How are you growing? What are you doing to take the next step for you to get to the next level, right? Well, guys, it's no difference here. It's just trying to get us to the next level with God. Amen? And there are levels, by the way. So then he goes on. And then in 13, and he says this, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Listen, God will move you. God will work in your life. And if you never see God working in your life, you have to ask yourself two questions. One, am I saved? Do I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? And then two, am I loving him and allowing him room in my life? Have I opened the door and said, come on in, Jesus, do whatever you want? Or have I went, uh-oh, here comes Jesus, put everything away? Right? You guys understand what I'm saying. All right, here we go. Verse 14, do all things. Now, this is where Paul starts setting it up and telling us how we should do life. Okay? And so here he says this, you do all things. All things literally is do it with character. Have character. Have character. Man, you know what? How many have ever dealt with somebody on Craigslist? Okay, maybe it's just me. I made a deal with a guy, and we agreed on a price and everything. And then I called him up and I said, "Hey, listen, I'm on my way over to get it." And he goes, "Well, I just had someone contact me, and they're willing to give me asking price." I said, "But we had a deal. We had an agreement, a verbal agreement." And he goes, "Well, I know, but I can get more money out of it." I said, "No problem." And I said, I'll pay you asking price," which was $10 difference. So we agreed on 35. He was asking 45. So I went and I picked it up, and I bought it for 45. And he said, "I just want you to understand, it's not a money thing." I go, "Oh, dude." And his children were standing there. And I said, "Listen, man, I know it's not a money thing." He goes, "I don't need the money." I go, "It's not about the money." I go, "You know the sad part is? You just sold your character for 10 bucks. That's the value of your character. That's what you need to understand. I got what I wanted, but you just lost what you had. You sold it for $10. And I said, "You know the worst part about it is? You sold it in front of your children." Now, some of you might go, "Pastor, that's pretty harsh." No. No. No, because I'm 222 pounds. here's... Oh, dear Jesus, forgive me. Amen. Here's the thing. You know, guys, listen, this is what Paul's talking about, right? You do all things. You keep your character. You keep your character. And by the way, keeping your character, if you notice, it says do all things without complaining and disputing. That do all things is a decision. It doesn't just happen. You're going to decide. You're going to decide whether you want to do this or you don't. You're going to decide to live godly or not. You're going to decide to keep your character or to sell your character. You will decide, because we all decide. Amen. And so he says here in 14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation." Listen, you do all things without complaining and disputing, without bickering and arguing and biting and gossiping and all that stuff. And then he says this, so that you can live out your testimony, that you can be the example. Because here's the reality, that if you live an example that is unbecoming of Jesus, people are going to look at you and go, "Man, I don't want your Jesus if that's what your Jesus is," right? Because you're the example. And we need to be the example that glorifies God. And that, guys, I'm just telling you, in 2020, that's your decision. It is absolutely your decision, my decision, of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And the only thing that changes what we do is what we decide to do. And so we need to understand that you're going to be watched, and you go, "Don't judge me." Everyone in this room knows somebody's watching you. Everybody in here knows, without question, somebody's watching you. They're watching your behavior. They're watching your posts. They're watching everything you do, everything you say, and with the attitude and actions that you do it and say it in. If you want to be held blameless and looked at as children of God, then you make sure you do it in a way that is worthy. Remember, going back into 27, 28, 29, verse there, where Paul says, do it worthy of Christ, worthy of the gospel. And then he goes on. So in 15, he says, that you may become blameless and harmless. See, if you notice that become, that is walking out your testimony. It is a decision to be holy, and then you walk that out. That's becoming that. Just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're instantly healed of everything and that everything goes away. And I mean, that would be wonderful, amen? Man, who wouldn't like an eraser board to erase all the wrong you've ever done in your life and paint a whole new picture? Well, guess what? You can do that. You just can't get rid of the past. But man, you can make a whole new future anytime you determine. Amen? You can't change the beginning, but you can change the outcome. And so 2020, I'm praying that we change the outcome. I'm praying that we make decisions that honor God, that are fantastic, and that we are without fault, that nobody can come up and go, you know what? You messed up, and then all of a sudden start a barrage of accusations. If we're right before God, we'll get the barrage, but then we can go, "Lord, you know the truth." And we walk on. Amen? And so this is what Paul's talking about. Well, then as you go on, and then he says in 15, that were we to live like this, well, listen, in the midst, and in the midst literally means in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. Guys, I don't know about you, but I have never seen such a crooked and perverse generation. And that generation just simply means the world we live in right now as what we have today. I've never seen such a thing. I've never seen it where right was wrong and wrong is right like it is today. It is absolutely unbelievable. Where most people accept the things that are ungodly that they never would have accepted in the past, but because all of a sudden a loved one's doing it, we feel we got to be tolerable. And guys, that is so wrong. But that's what's allowed our nation to keep going on in the direction that it's going on, because nobody will take a stand to stop it and actually look at it and go, I love you so much, I'm willing to sacrifice this relationship by telling you that what you're doing is wrong. Right? Listen, love means that you say no. Love means says, I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing. What you're doing is absolutely wrong. I love you enough to tell you that. I'll love you and I'll stand with you, but I won't walk with you in this walk. You got to walk that one alone, because I can't walk in that ungodliness. Guys, love is discipline. You realize that in Psalms, the Bible says that in Proverbs, the Bible says that if you spare the rod, you hate your child because you didn't love them enough to discipline them to walk in the way of truth. Guys, this is a crooked and perverse generation that we live in, where people are accepting of any behavior, all in the name of love. And it's unacceptable. My daughters know I love them. I would die for them, but I will never stand and stand with them when they're living in sin. I'm there when they're ready to get out of it. I'm there when they need help to do what's right, but I'll never tell them when they're living in sin that it's okay. I just won't do it. You say, you don't love your children? No, I love them so much that I'm willing to sacrifice the relationship and tell them the truth. Guys, we are walking in a crooked and perverse generation, and we need to make some hard decisions. Amen? And so maybe 2020 is your time to make those decisions. So then he goes on, and he says in verse 16, or he finishes up 15 with, among whom you shine as lights in the world, that we shine as lights. We show truth. We shine the light on it to say that what you're doing is wrong, and this is truth, and we love you, and we're going to comfort you, and we're going to help you. This isn't abandonment. I'm not asking anyone to abandon anyone, because you got to go back up in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Remember, it's the love and the comfort and the help. Listen, we're not talking about abandoning people. What we're talking about is just standing on truth and not letting anybody cause us to waver in sin, because we love them and we're going to accept what their sin is. So I'm just telling you that we keep loving them, but we got in verse 16, it's holding fast the word of life. It's holding fast the truth. That's what he's talking about, that we shine as lights, we hold fast to what is true of God, so that And then he goes on, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That, hey, you know what? That you are committed to do what you know is right, that you've been taught of the truth, and you'll do what is right, and you'll honor God. And in honoring God, you're going to bring life to your soul, and you're going to bring peace to your bones. Because I don't know about you, but living in sin, it will absolutely destroy the body. It just stresses and taxes the body, whether it's mentally, spiritually, physically. I was asked to be a friend on Facebook of someone that I went to high school with, and this was ninth grade. It was the last time I saw her, and it was in Ohio where I went to school. At any rate, so I looked at the picture and I went, "Who is that?" So then I opened it up and I was able to scroll and see. She's my age, 29. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. She's my age. And I showed my wife and my girls, and I said, look at this. How old do you think she is? And they're like, oh my goodness, 65, 70? And she's my age. And so then as I went, I accepted her as a friend, and then I did what everybody does, right? I go searching and looking. And so I started going looking at her pictures, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is why drugs and alcohol all throughout, just poor decisions all throughout. And it's taken its toll. I mean, I couldn't even believe that it was the same person. just taking its toll. Guys, sin takes its toll. If you think you can live in sin through 2020, 2021 and on, you can, but understand this, there's a heavy price to pay sometimes, amen? And so we are to hold fast the word of God, which is to live by it and to tell others about Jesus. Remember in 27, to be worthy of the gospel, to share the gospel. And so that Paul goes on, so that he knows he wouldn't be labor, that his labor wasn't in vain in verse 17. And he says, yes, if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and receive with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. Listen, you know what? If bad comes because I'm doing good, I'm good with it. That's what Paul says. And so, guys, my challenge for you in 2020 is to understand what God expects of us. My challenge for you in 2020 is to not only understand what God expects from us, but to now live it out. You know, it's one thing if we don't know the truth, but it's another when we're told the truth and then we just decide to ignore it. Amen? And so now we know the truth. We know what God wants from us. Listen, we're to love the world. We're to love the people in the world, but man, we are not to partake of their ungodliness. And we are to walk and shine. We walk as Jesus Christ, to be worthy of Christ, and that we are to shine the light of truth in the world, and we are to shine it with everyone. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're still acting like a fool, you need to stop it. Amen. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you live righteous in your own house, but not when you step out the door, you need to stop it. Listen, we need to make adjustments in 2020, amen? And we need to make them so that more people understand the truth and come to the Lord, so that we have more baptisms. Amen. Guys, I'm telling you, man, to baptize these three men, and especially, Sean, I love you, but especially with Nick and Holden, obviously being in the family, man, there's no greater joy than to know that someone you love has made a decision for Jesus. And then when you meet someone, Sean, I'm telling you, man, from day one, I just, there's something about you, man, I just liked, and God just told me to pray for you, and I've been praying for you, and then you made the decision, and you're like, oh my goodness, and then to hear his excitement, you're like, you can't help but to be like, ooh, let's go, man, right? Let's fight hell with a water pistol. I'm in. And we go, amen? And so some of you will get that in a minute. But that's because of living it out, right? Living it out so others can enjoy the glory of God as well, amen? Guys, 2020, let's hit it head on and make a difference. And I want to give you an opportunity today that if you don't know Jesus, that you have an opportunity to change that. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head, close their eyes. It won't take but a minute. Bow your head, close your eyes. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I want you praying for the person on your right and your left. That's all I want you to do. With every person in here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you pray for the person on your right, you pray for the person on your left. And your prayer is, God, if they don't know Jesus, that changes right now. To understand that without Jesus Christ, you have no hope of heaven. Without Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior and you surrendering your life to Him, the Bible says, not me, not religion, but the Bible, the very Word of God, says that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, that we might believe in Him, that we could go to heaven. Which means without Him, there is no way. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to heaven without Jesus. That's what He says in the Bible. This isn't John speaking. This isn't Pastor John speaking. This is what the Bible says. And so if you're here today, and I were to ask this question to you, if you died right now, do you know that you know you would go to heaven? If you say yes, praise Jesus. And if I were to ask you why, and your response is, because I'm a good person, because I haven't hurt anyone, because I do good, whatever, if it's those answers, listen, I say this with love. According to the Bible, you're not going to heaven. For the Bible says no one is good, no one is righteous. The Bible says that man is deceitfully wicked. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could know it? The Bible says if you've ever sinned in any way, shape, or form, whether it be as simple as telling a lie, or much worse, maybe you stole something. Maybe you looked at someone with lust. Maybe you have done things that you are ashamed of. Well, that's sin. Nobody's judging. We're just simply saying that's sin, and that's why we're not perfect. And so if it's your heart desire to go to heaven, you pray this prayer. Understanding the words aren't magical. These words are not going to save you. They're simply a roadmap to guide you to Christ, and so that you can say, this was the day that I made a decision for Jesus. The saying a prayer just gives you a time stamp of when you gave your life to Christ. What saves your soul is the very fact that in your heart you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and with your mouth you confess it. The prayer just gives you the opportunity of understanding. So if it's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly into yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. Today I give you my life. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. I accept your gift of eternal life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you conquered death and hell. I believe you are at the right hand of the Father. And so today, I surrender all. Today, I give you my life. And today, I make you my Lord and Savior.